Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
My next guest this morning is best known on the pitch as a great international rugby player for Ireland. His name is Andrew Porter. He has a new autobiography called Heart on My Sleeve, subtitled My Story of Struggle and Strength, which is an inspirational story of Andrew's life, from his mental health struggles to his sporting triumphs. And by the way, some of our conversation may not be suitable for little or vulnerable ears, as we may be making reference to mental health struggles, including suicide ideation. Andrew, good morning and welcome.
Thank you very much, Pat. Yeah, great to be here.
I never thought I would see a rugby player writing a book with quotations from Marcus Aurelius.
Yeah. I mean, like, it was, I suppose, the whole kind of stoic mentality kind of was brought about by a mentor of mine, Liam Griffin. He gave me a book, The Obstacle is the Way, a long time ago. And I've read it about 4 or 5 times since. And I suppose just the mindset, I suppose, how you carry yourself day in, day out, and how you react to different struggles and adversity is something that's kind of, that's pulled me out of a lot of tough places and tough spots. And to be this relevant nowadays for someone who's written this thousands, hundreds of years ago is like, it's incredible. It's really, it means a lot to me, and I can use it in my daily life. So,
yeah, I mean, you could summarize it, and this is a very short summary of the philosophy of Marcus Aurelius. It is what it is.
Yeah.
You take what it is.
You take what it is, and I suppose you can't control outside situations. The only thing you can control is your reaction to situations.
Yeah. So you can't control what life does to you, but you can control your reaction.
Exactly. You can control the controllables in your own mind and in your daily life, I suppose.
Now, you write about your family, and if there is a stoic among you, your dad is a stoic.
Yeah, he was still is the rock of the family. Like, he's the one who's been that kind of constant. He's been that guy who lost his wife and had to support three young kids growing up. He's the one who's had to go to work today. He's never complained about, I suppose, a tough day's work. I suppose he's kind of a guy who just gets on with it. He's that kind of traditional father, husband, who just wants to provide the best he can for his family.
I mean, the grief that he must have experienced, as you did, you were 12, to start in St. Andrews. Your mother had her funeral, and then you had to go to this new school, new friends, and all of that. And he had to get back to work. He had to earn a living for you and your sisters.
Yeah. So, like, fair enough, what I went through, that was my own experience. But what he must have been going through at the time, which was completely kind of in the dark to me, because I was so kind of focused on myself and kind of very inward focused. I was like, I didn't have a notion or clue what was going on with my father, my two sisters, my extended family. Like, I was very inward focused, which at the time is obviously understandable. Now, looking back, you're 12 years old, you've lost your mother, you're going into secondary school the day after the funeral. And there's so much going on that it's hard to, I suppose, articulate your thoughts in a way that can be outward focused on anything else but yourself. And that's how I was.
You tease out your teenage years and your school days and so on, where you could be at one stage too big. You saw yourself as a chubby chappy and being slagged off for that.
Yeah.
And then you decide that you're too chubby and you start to lose weight uncontrollably, really. And then you come to terms with that. And it's very interesting, that moment when you realize food is fuel.
Yeah.
And I need fuel to do what I want to do, whether it's build the body or run fast or lift or whatever it might be. And I have to have the appropriate amount of food.
Exactly. Like, I went from, I wouldn't say like overly unhealthy. I was a big kid. I like loved my food, loved my sport, loved rugby, loved any kind of sport my parents encouraged me to do when I was younger. And then I suppose the loss of my mother was maybe like a catalyst or kind of that thing that like clicked and changed my perception of things, and I suppose every insecurity I had about food, my image, my own self-worth even, was kind of, it mounted up. And I suppose I went from being that really kind of full of life kid to being the exact opposite. I went from nearly being the biggest in my class, biggest out of my friends, to the skinniest and the smallest. And I remember I saw a photo, and it was on the Late Late Show last Friday, that a lot of people had seen, that I hadn't seen in years. And my sister was digging through photos trying to get a few for the book. And it was just, I suppose, looking back on it, it's a different person. I didn't recognize that person, and because it's I've come so far from the person I was when I was going through my mental health struggles and my eating disorder, in my teens, that I suppose, yeah, it's a completely different person, and I suppose how far I've come from that is just, yeah, it's miles.
Were you always a very introspective child? I mean, were you always kind of trying to figure things out?
Yeah, I mean, I think as...
Because it's not the characterization of rugby players, as you probably know.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think as men and as young men, we're...
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
There's that kind of notion or that conceived idea that you're a man, get on with it, deal with yourself, don't tell anyone about it, don't put your problems on other people. And that was kind of my thought process the whole time. I was like, I need to figure this out for myself. I'm in this on my own.
Now, the other day we had a young girl in from the senior cycle, Sive O'Brien was her name. She had dyslexia, and when she was diagnosed, it was like a light bulb lighting up. She found her way. Now, you were diagnosed with ADHD.
Yeah.
And one of the characteristics of ADHD is that when people are doing something they love, they do it to the nth degree.
Yeah.
They do it with perfection and with enthusiasm.
Hyper-focus. You can zone in and tune everything out. Nothing. Hours could fly by and you not realize it. And it's a blessing and a curse sometimes, because I find myself in the garage building things now and 3 hours have gone by. I've got 10 missed calls on my phone. But I suppose it was like you said, it's great to have that understanding. And I suppose that diagnosis of my ADHD was brilliant for me in terms of understanding myself more, understanding my mindset, and I suppose giving myself that bit of clarity and that bit of kind of understanding that I could treat myself with a bit more kindness instead of getting frustrated with myself. Because I find myself getting frustrated. Yeah. Why can't I do this? Why can't I just get the head down, study, or why can't I focus on this?
Yeah, there's a chapter in the book which I was greatly entertained by. It's you describing a morning. You get up at 5. That's the best time of the day to be productive.
Yeah.
And you start off doing this and then that and then the other, and you never finish one thing, you know.
Yeah, well, at the moment I'm not being, well, I'm being woken up at 5 by our 5-month-old.
Yeah.
So
Max.
Max. So it's sometimes it's not by choice, but you find yourself zipping from one job to the other, and you find you have 10 jobs on the go and nothing's actually getting done. You're maybe ticking off 1% of each thing and you have 10 things all out at once and it looks a mess. But
now, the idea of becoming a professional rugby player, that was an ambition that was honed very early.
Yeah, yeah. That was something that started with me 4 years old. My dad taking me down to O'Wesley, his club, and I loved it. I loved it from day one. And from that day, I suppose my dad bringing me to Leinster games, Irish games, being immersed in it, like having that, you had that dream from a child and watching it.
Now, you
up.
You said that to your late mother, and she was enthusiastic.
Yeah.
There was no kind of pouring water on your dreams.
No, there was no reality checks. Both my parents gave me every opportunity to pursue anything I wanted to do. But like I had everything there for me the whole way through. Even after I lost mum, I had my whole kind of, I wouldn't say everything was given to me. Like, I obviously have to work incredibly hard to get to where I am. But like, it was, in terms of encouragement and support, I had the best support network in my family. And they, I think they were the ones who inspired me in my kind of tough years, I suppose, to get myself out of it, to, I suppose, get better, not just for myself, because I realized if I, like, that dream of being a rugby player was still alive when I was going through my mental health struggles. And to be, I knew to be a professional rugby player, I needed to train and eat to get myself to that point, in like to a physical and mental point.
Now, are you still that way about your food, like counting the grams of protein and counting the calories?
Oh, I'm incredibly methodical about my food. I love
knowing. Is this the ADHD again?
This is the ADHD, and this is the kind of the hyper-focus. And I suppose I just love that. I love knowing that I'm getting exactly what I need to perform the best I can in my job, and obviously to live a healthy lifestyle. And like, I'm incredibly passionate about food and training. Like, training and the gym was and always is something that's been kind of that rock for me, that place where I could go and kind of feel myself.
But like, you're quite determined. I mean, there was one point when you were too small for a particular team. Was that the under-16s?
I think it was, under-16s.
And then you said, schools. I'm not going to be small anymore.
Exactly.
And I'm going to work on that to become big.
Yeah, and it was actually our current scrum coach, John Fogarty, who said that to me. So he's the scrum coach for Ireland and the Lions. And he was the one who said that to me back when I was 15, 16. He was like, yeah, you're a great player, but you're just not big enough for the level to be playing at. And I completely took that to heart, and I was like, right, no one's ever going to say that to me again. So I did everything.
The gym, and how, what weight could you lift at your peak?
At my peak, I was like 325 squats. So,
my goodness.
I wouldn't be going through near that now because I just, like, I'm trying to.
Well, it's not appropriate necessarily for what you're doing.
It's not. Yeah, I need to be aligned with kind of my goals.
You also got to be able to move. I mean,
exactly,
that's the point.
Yeah, I don't want to be breaking myself up.
The modern forward is quite a speedy individual.
We try to be.
I remember years ago watching the French forwards in action, and it was a time when Neil Francis was playing for Ireland, and Neil would get up after a scrum had collapsed or whatever, and he'd jog gently over to. And I was watching the French players training at that time, and they were racing through the tires, you know, a row of tires, and they were bump, 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 the big French forwards.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's what we need.
Yeah.
And that's what we do now, I presume.
I suppose, the game has evolved so much in not that long a time. It's evolved so much in such a short space of time. And I suppose, you need to be able to do it all.
You mentioned in the book that the tattoos, which many people comment on and which the Japanese do not take kindly to.
No.
Is the story of your life.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's a few in there that have incredible meaning to me, and there's a few in there I really just enjoy the look of. And I know a lot of people out there might not always agree with tattoos, but I think, if they mean something to you.
They do have an intimidating effect, I think. You know, when we used to see the haka and the terrifying Maoris coming at you, tattooed and all the rest of it. You know, if you saw Andrew Porter coming at you in the tattoos, you'd feel fairly terrified too.
People say that to me. Like, some people, I think a friend of mine, I met him there a few weeks ago, and he said his auntie crossed the road when I was walking my dog, and his auntie crossed the road to get away from me. And then I think I met her 2 or 3 weeks ago then, and she was like, oh, I don't know why I was crossing the road. Like, you're actually a lovely person.
It was obviously the dog.
It could have probably the dog, yeah. Yeah, it wouldn't have been me.
You have Max and you have Lane. You were a very modern man in the sense of how you met her.
Yeah. It was, in fairness, we were actually talking about this the other day. It was that usual kind of modern day online Tinder. I was 20 when we first kind of matched on Tinder. And then I think it was 2 years later. Like, I think I'd probably said something stupid on Tinder, blew it. And then it was funny because we had a Leinster event and she was working kind of catering team in one of the hotels. And that was the first time she saw me. I didn't see her. I think it was my first Leinster event and I got really nervous. So I think I probably had
a few too many.
And probably made a fool of myself. And then I think she texted me being like, oh, did you have fun at the event there the other night? I was like, oh no, I've definitely made a fool of myself. And I think it was from that.
It was
2 years from talking to her and then actually kind of meeting up with her finally. And then I suppose we clicked incredibly well. Like, I remember we went on a first date in town. I think we started about 6 in the evening and got home at 6 a.m. Like, it was one of those.
So you knew this was going to work.
Exactly. Yeah.
I should ask you about something finally that your dad said to you, you know, even recently. Plan B.
Yeah.
Because rugby doesn't last forever.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I've only recently, like, everything happens all at once, the book. And I've actually, myself and a mate of mine, we've set up a gym down in Dunleary. We've called it Three State. Because the gym has always been a huge part of my life in terms of mental and physical kind of health. So I wanted to be able to create that space for other people. Myself and my partner wanted to create that space that other people could come, feel a part of, that real community aspect to it. Because I've been training in a team for years, and I think so many people crave that.
And that's what you need going forward, is structure.
Exactly, structure. And I know the gym is always somewhere I've enjoyed. And I suppose it's about making health and fitness enjoyable, not a chore for people to come and do. And that's what we wanted to do down in Three State, down our gym.
Well, look, we didn't go too deeply into the book. There's so much in it. I just enjoyed it so much, reading it and discovering so much about you. It's called Heart on My Sleeve. It's subtitled My Story of Struggle and Strength. And its author, Ireland rugby star Andrew Porter. Thank you, Andrew, very much for joining us in the studio.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18-plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.